flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you guys want to talk about the Lions still. For as many of our listeners who go, just get over it, get over it. People aren't.
No.
They're not over it. It's a lot to unpack. Jason in East Point, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Okay, so for me, it's going to be hard watching the Super Bowl, but I kind of like you said, Stoney, I kind of adjusted my expectations, especially after the Buffalo game. Once all the injuries happened, I didn't think we had enough to get there.
Right.
Now, as far as the game that we lost, I put the blame 98% on Jared Goff. Those turnovers were excruciating. I mean, to play well mostly all season and then get to that point and just, like, vomit up everything, that was hard to watch.
And it was three bad plays by him, the fumble.
Well, was really more, to be honest with you, we only beat Minnesota because Darnold played worse than Goff, because Goff had bad turnovers in that game. And that was startling to me. And I felt like the only way the Lions could really lose to the Commanders were if Goff was to play like he played against Houston or Minnesota. And that's exactly what he did. Now I'm kind of feeling like – I kind of feel why Sean McVay got rid of Goff, because he feel like in the biggest spot,
well,
Goff may come up with.
Well, people seem to forget, and I don't have the exact play-by-play and game stats in front of me, but – yes, he did not play well in that Super Bowl loss, but neither did any of the Rams offensively.
It was a low-scoring
game against a really good Patriot defense. But the NFC Championship game, he led them on a couple of drives that were very impressive, especially in the second half.
Maybe benefited from
the worst call of all time, but still.
No, Goff had played three really good playoff games in a Lions uniform just a year ago.
Yes!
So I really hesitate to overreact. It was awful that day, Saturday night. But I don't feel like we should suddenly forget what happened the year before. Perspective's a good thing. And speaking of perspective, I don't dispute Jason, and I don't dispute you, the idea that expectations changed after the Buffalo game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you from where I'm sitting, after the Buffalo game, anybody who expressed concern was shouted down from the mob of Lions fans who said, shut up, we're going to find a way. The prevailing notion in the city after the Buffalo loss was, don't you dare speak ill of this football team. We're built for this. We're absolutely still a Super Bowl team. Only then after they lose do we hear from a lot of people who say, well, see, I knew they never were going to do it anyway. It just feels very convenient is what I will say.
Well, let's look. I mean, after the Buffalo game was the San Francisco game. And, you know, Kirk, one of Joseph's interceptions was a really good play. The other one was Purdy threw the ball right to him. So the defense wasn't exactly great in that game. And in the aforementioned Minnesota game, the defense did enough, obviously.
I mean, they
played pretty well.
In the red zone specifically.
Yeah, and a lot of that was Darnold, though. He decided not to throw the ball to Addison, who was wide open in the right part of the end zone. I mean...
yeah. I just mean there were fans who believed and believed and believed. And then
yes,
when the season ended, they said, I never believed. And I just don't think
that feels
like a coping mechanism.
No.
It's okay to say you got humbled,
yes,
that you were wrong. It's
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It hurts a little more, but that's part of life.
You know, you take it down with your cappuccino and in the morning and you get over it.
Let's get to, is this LL in Detroit? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, it does hurt. I think for any fan, you want to get beat. You don't want to feel like you beat yourself. And this year and last year, I felt we beat ourselves. And to be honest, I hate to say it, and people might want to stone me, but I feel like it's more Dan Campbell and the coaching staff's fault than Goff.
Well, there was
they should have ran the ball more.
Sure.
They had the worst defense. They had the 30th defense.
Yep.
In the league.
Well,
there's no way we should have ran the ball more.
But
look, we were killing them. Gibbs was killing them.
Look at the play-by-play and figure out about six more plays where you think they should have run the ball. There's really not that many.
I hated they started Demo. I thought they should have let him come off the bench and backed up Gibbs. They should have started Gibbs. They should have got off to a good start. That would have put pressure on Daniels. I just thought the whole – when they did that, I was scared. When I saw Demo starting, I was scared.
I'm in the minority. I didn't think that made a difference because the play, the one that screwed him was the second down, and I don't think Gibbs gets – get breakthrough through that awful blocking that they got an 8-yard loss on.
But you said it too, Stoney. They should have had a running back in the backfield on that third and one.
Yes,
that
yes, no that's coaching.
The
yes,
12 men on the field.
Yes.
12 men on the field.
Yes.
If everybody at the ref seen it, why didn't your coaching staff call it?
Right.
I
agree with you. I just think there's too much focus being put on the first possession.
Only in the sense of a tone, the tone that you want to set. Gibbs had taken over the backfield, and it appeared the coaching staff didn't see that. Gibbs got better when Montgomery was out. His yards per carry went up. He got into a rhythm. And, Stoney, there's no disputing it. Gibbs, in limited touches, was dynamic against the Commanders and would have been more dynamic with more touches, right?
Maybe, but there wasn't that much opportunity except for the first series, which I'm convinced he wouldn't have been able to do much anyway.
I just think back to it's 7-3 Detroit. They've got the ball. And even before the third and one empty set, Gibbs runs for 33 yards
yes.
on that drive.
Right.
My answer is run him until his legs fall off.
I don't disagree with you. And that's why.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. Third and one.
Which is why I understand the phone call.
Yeah, I get it. But when you look at after that, when you look at the plays like we did,
it starts to unravel.
Yeah. And there's no opportunity really for him to run. I mean, he had the one where he had the two big plays in a row and then they ended up. You know, scoring after that, you had the J-Mo reverse.
Goff's not even in the game at that point. Yeah,
right. But as far as Gibbs, I mean, the play, the interception at the end of the half, you're not going to run the ball. I don't think with 29 seconds left, unless you want to settle for a field goal, which you know you don't want to do. He had a horrible pass. I'm not dismissing.
Yeah.
The coaching, I think we're making way too much of a deal of the first series because the Lions did nothing in the first series. Washington did nothing in their first series. The Lions took the lead, 7-0, 7-3, and they're on their way to 14-3, and then they go freaking empty out of a shotgun. Third and one. That's the game.
Games aren't decided by necessarily one play, but three that stood out to me. One was the third and one from empty forever. The pick six, your defense isn't good. You can't also give up points when you're on offense.
No.
And then to me, some will point to the J-Mo pick as the third play. To me, it's the 12 men on the field when you just eat it. You just accept that you're going to take a penalty on 4th-and-2. And that's why Dan Campbell should get some heat.
Yes.
And just because he owns it doesn't mean we have to let him off the hook.
No. And his new defensive coordinator was frantically telling him that,
Dan.
So it's good to know that Kelvin Shepard's aware.
Good. Well, we just can't keep doing this.
No.
We can't keep doing this where they fall short and two of the three losses this season, coach goes, it's my fault. Like, stop letting it be your fault.
I know.
We love you. You're a great coach. Stop letting it be your fault.
We're relitigating the game.
I know.
And you go to the 4th-and-2, what's Terry and Arnold thinking?
I know, not containing.
Yeah. Now, who knows? Daniels could have broke through his tackle anyway, but.
One last call on this, and then we'll stop picking the wound.
Yes. It's my fault. You can blame me because I hadn't been on the air.
It's okay, Stoney. People have a lot to say.
I know.
Tony, you're next up.
Yeah, I'm a big Jared Goff fan, but the stars need to be aligned for this guy to win the big game. We've arguably had the best coordinators in the league, and every team wanted him after the season. We're stacked at every position on offense, and I just think that a guy like Mahomes gets it done on consistency. Jared Goff needs every single thing to be right to win. And I know outside of Stafford, and arguably he's better than Goff, you give Stafford the same tools, then I think we win that game. He's sharper. He's got a better arm. I just think Goff comes up short in these big games. There's too many excuses for Jared Goff. That's the bottom line.
What did you say, Lyle? What did you say?
I'm not bashing the dude. I'm just trying to be
objective. Well, you kind of are bashing the dude. And you know what? He deserves to be bashed for the game against Washington. You're right. But, Tony, where was his phone call after last year's playoffs when he had three excellent playoff games?
It doesn't matter how many you have if you don't win the big one. Why is it that Patrick Mahomes can be behind at the 2-minute mark?
Because he's great. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Nobody's suggesting
exactly
that we have.
Right, and we don't have the greatest quarterback.
Either does most teams.
I'm just saying, I'm a fan of him.
I can tell.
He's the best we've seen. But
the Jared Goff fan club.
With friends like you, who needs enemies?
Jeez.
That dude's got a lot of tools to work with. That's a two-headed monster in the backfield.
Yes.
You got positions stacked all over that field.
Yeah, they have
a bunch of
pros and pro bowlers.
I understand
that. Yes, we all know this.
But to throw the Mahomes name out there is like ludicrous. There's nobody like Mahomes.
Why is Mahomes?